Did you know right away that this was really something special?
Yeah, it was like someone had put the key in the starter motor of the jet engine. Off it went. We did a rehearsal recently, and Zach was the drummer.
Is there going to be a reunion there?
We did the rehearsal to see if we can still hit the notes, still get the drive. Who music demands an incredible amount of drive.
How'd you come up with throwing your mic up like that in the air?
I had to do something. I got very good at it, but the trouble is today, I twirl it out and I can't see where it's gone. I was the worst pinball player in the world. It used to go up and come down, straight down the hole, the long hole. This is possibly my last ever tour at this age. I want to enjoy a bit of ordinary life. Hi, this is Roger Daltrey, and you're watching In Studio with Joanne Butler.
I'm so happy to talk to you. Such an honor. You look amazing. How are you doing?
I'm still standing. And I'm having a great time playing some different songs and different music. And I can experiment with a different soundscape of nine musicians. We're having lots of laughs, lots of fun.
It looks it. The clips I'm seeing, everybody's loving it. How did you decide what songs to do? What made the cut?
We change them all the time. We try and add one or two every night, but every time we add one, we have to take one out. So it's a bit of a juggling match. But I try to find songs that I've loved over the years, and I've tried to find songs that have kind of caught up with themselves in the what they're written about. I mean, I'm doing a Neil Young song, Rocking in the Free World.
Oh, cool.
Because that was written in 40 years ago. And it probably means more today than it did it at the time it was written. I mean, well, let's put it this way. I think there's more to be got out of the song in the top line of the melody. It's a bit, for me, it's a bit late. It's a bit Neil Young laid back when it should be an angry rock song, you know.
Right.
Because times are enough to make you angry, aren't they?
Yes. What's different about walking on stage solo, sort of, versus on stage as part of the Who?
Well, obviously people's expectations are far lower, and keeping up the expectations that people have about the Who, you know, singing Love Rain or Me and those kind of songs at this age and hitting the notes, and then have them say, I think it was all recorded. They finally go, it's deflating, you know, and you've kind of sung your heart out for 3 months.
Have they said that?
Well, I've heard rumors, yeah, that people think it's recorded. Oh, it's not. It's me.
Yeah, you can. I don't know how.
It's up there, you know. It's way up there. It's in the.
Right. You can hear it's you. I don't know what they're talking about. You can hear it's you.
Yeah, exactly. It's there, you know.
Especially when you tell the audience to do the scream for you.
I let them go in with the sore throats.
That's funny.
I've had enough of it.
How do you do it? Your voice, it still sounds beautiful, Roger.
I've been given a gift, and I realized it was a gift. And I'm determined to use it as long as it's still there. But if it does start to go, it went on me in the early 2000s. I had a pre-cancer thing growing on my vocal cord.
Wow.
But I solved that problem. I was really unhappy. I was coming off stage very unhappy because I couldn't hit the notes I wanted to. And I felt like I was cheating the audience. If that ever happens again, I retire. It's as simple as that.
Right. Makes sense. It seems like you've always respected it, though, over the years, you know. What did you do to you know, hone
well,
it?
Well, I stayed physically in good shape. You know, it's the vocal cords are only a muscle. You have to respect yourself as an athlete.
Yes.
You do. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Unless you're a sloppy kind of, you know, country singer or whatever, or you just sing in one key all the time.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few that do that, and they get away with it. It's good luck to them. I would never get away with that.
Right, no.
I like to change key after every song.
Right. And you say this is possibly your last solo tour, and it comes right after, of course, the Who's
I think Pharaoh. It's possibly my last ever tour, yeah. I mean, it's simple as that at this age. I want to enjoy a bit of ordinary life. I do a lot of, I've got a lot of work with the charities I work for, which are to do with adolescent and young adult cancer.
Yes.
And we're doing great work there. And So it's not like I'll be doing nothing.
Yeah.
I should be very busy, but doing other things.
What is one of your favorite songs to sing?
Well, in this show, I love Giving It All Away, which was my first hit single as a solo artist. And at the time, it was all by accident. I had no intention of having a solo career. I just made a record because I heard a songwriter who was writing incredible songs. His name was Leo Sayer, and
Yes.
he was looking for a record deal. So I said, well, write me a song and I'll record it and see if it gets any interest. Who wrote it? And of course, Leo Sayer's career went, and what a great singer he is. So Giving It All Away is probably possibly my favorite. There's something about that song. I don't know whether it's the top line of the melody or the words that connect with people. Every time I play it, the room kind of goes silent. It's very weird. You can almost hear a pin drop. It's very strange.
Wow, that's so cool. What was the process like for you back in the day? Did you ever think of yourself as an actor kind of playing a role each time you were singing those songs?
Yeah, I do try and I can't sing a song from the head. I could never have an auto cue on stage because one, I couldn't bloody see it now. But it for me, I can't read a song and sing it. Never could. I couldn't. I could never do guide vocals in the studio because I couldn't read the lyrics. It doesn't come from that part of me. It has to come from my heart. It has to come out of the brain into somewhere else. But if you're reading, it can only be in the brain and only ever stays in the brain. I haven't got that ability to transpose that immediately.
What about my generation, the stutter? What's the truth behind the stutter? Where did it come from?
I did used to stutter quite badly. And we used to take amphetamine at the time sometimes to stay up because we'd been doing two shows in the nighttime and then in the studio all day. So hours of the day were short, so we made the most of them. And amphetamines used to make my stutter worse. So the first time it came in, I came in wrong. And it was people. I got it right on the second people, but and we left it in. And our producer at the time, who was our manager, Kit Lambert, said, "Oh, you've got to keep that in. That's going to sell the
Amazing.
record." And it did.
Amazing. And you founded the Who. What drew you to the guys?
What drew them to me? No,
Yes.
I didn't get drawn to
What
them.
drew them to you? Exactly. What drew
But
them to
yeah.
you?
Pete and John, both Pete and John were in the same school as me, but I got kicked out of school at the age of 15, and of course they stayed on till 16, 17. But I still used to see them on the street because you couldn't hide them. They were very individual characters, and I met John walking along the road one day, and he had over his shoulder he had a homemade bass. Very funny looking bass, but he made it himself. And I said, "Do you want to come and play with my band to see if you enjoy it?" And he came along, and he's obviously a musical genius. He had a quality about him. So I thought, well, I found my bass player. And then after about 6 weeks with John and me in the band, I was a sheet metal worker, which is not very conducive to guitar playing. You come home and your hands are all shredded and you've got to put these strings on your fingers. You go, oh, maybe not. So John said, well, I know a really good guitarist. Should I bring him along? And sure enough, he brings Pete Townshend along, who again I recognized from school because you couldn't never hide Pete Townshend in the crowd. He was like a nose on a stick. And Pete came along, and he'd been playing banjo in a traditional trad band, jazz band, and he played guitar like no one else I'd ever heard. And I thought, I've got this individual bass player, and now I've got this individual guitarist. We're on the way to something special here, even though we were copying what was in the Hit Parade at the time. I thought this is on the way to something special, but we couldn't find a drummer. And we didn't find a drummer for probably 18 months. Tried different drummers out. I had to get rid of the original drummer we had. And every time you get rid of someone that you've been in a band with, it's painful, you know, it's never easy. And they we were still all good friends, but it's painful at the time. But you have to do it to move on. And then one day we were still looking for drummers, and it was in, I think it was either late 1963 or very early 1964. And this little kid turned up and asked to play drums with us, and he had great big round moon-shaped eyes. And he got on the drums, and that was Keith Moon, and everything gelled together. It was an extraordinary moment.
Did you know right away that this was really something
Yeah,
special?
it was like someone had put the key in the starter motor of the jet engine. Off it went.
Amazing.
And he broke the drum kit that he borrowed. He because he had to sit in on someone else's drum kit, and he broke their drum pedal.
Oh
Yeah.
When I interview drummers, I always ask who their favorite drummer was, and Keith Moon, boy, comes up a lot, of course.
Well, he was so original. I mean, he was unlike any other drummer out there. And far from being sloppy, he
Yes.
was ultra, ultra slick, but he just played different.
Yeah.
I don't know, he was like a pair of knitting needles, knitting with about 10 balls of wool and making music, you know. It was extraordinary.
You all are. You all are. But you all seem so different, different personalities.
Yeah, we were. And Keith and I, and initially at the beginning, we didn't used to get on at all, because in Keith's mind, the drums should be on the front of the stage. So I
Fun.
used to tell him to F off and put up with drumsticks being thrown at me for the first 2 years.
What do you think kept it intact for so long when so many bands imploded?
Well, one, it pays the rent. It's never been the same since Keith died. I can't pretend it has. We were firing on all cylinders. We could throw anything out there and make something of it. That kind of disappeared when Keith died. But we found Zach Starkey.
Yes.
We tried Kenny Jones, who is a great drummer, but the straight drummer just does not work with the Who.
Yeah.
It just does not work.
What's going on with Starkey?
Zach Starkey, he's not Keith Moon, but he comes very close.
Is there going to be a reunion there?
I don't know. I don't know whether we did a rehearsal recently, and Zach was the drummer. We love Zach. We do love Zach. Sometimes the road doesn't love Zach
Road.
and gets on top of him. So it becomes difficult, but we love him. And he was drumming at the rehearsal, and we did the rehearsal to see if we can possibly do shows next year, still hit the notes, still get the drive. Who music demands an incredible amount of drive, and without that, it would be, you know, Herman's Hermits without Herman.
Good analogy. You guys, well, not you, more Keith and Pete, legendary for destroying instruments. What did you think of that?
At the time, it was like a kid writing spraying his name in graffiti on a wall.
Yeah.
I'm here, and that's what it did. You know, it made people sit up and notice. It became very expensive, and we didn't make any money for a very, very long time. I mean, years. And the first guitar that was broken, that was for me, as someone who used to make the first guitars that the band used to play.
Did
It
you?
was, yes. Well, we were post-war England, you know. You got to remember, this wasn't America. We couldn't go and just go out and buy a guitar. You could buy a house for the same amount of money. So
Oh.
to see that first guitar smash was extremely painful to me. But it did pay the rent in the end.
It sure did. Wow. When you look back on your long career, what are some of your favorite memories?
Going home.
No. Did you always know you wanted to sing?
All I ever wanted to be was a good singer. I used to sing in the church choir, and I could have been an opera singer, but I didn't. I like opera. I like listening to the melodies and the orchestras, the orchestral parts, and I like the singing. But then I've been to a lot of grand operas, and I've looked at the lyrics, and I leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah, you had the best. You're spoiled now. Did you have any formal training?
No.
Oh my God.
No, I think you have to be. I think, I don't know. I know it's an opera thing and they love it. But I've heard really good singers go into the meat grinder, and the formality kind of knocks out their characters. I don't know. That's what happens to my. That's what, how it sounds to my ears.
Yeah, that makes sense. Who were your influences growing up?
Oh, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Right from Hank Williams onwards. You know, that he was the first guy I heard. My uncle used to play Hank Williams records, and I used to think, this is good, this is good. And then obviously it was Little Richard and Elvis and Chuck
Yes.
Berry, and then the blues, Del Shannon, all those people. We were expected to play all those hit songs that those guys had in the clubs and the pubs every time we played. So you learned a lot.
And what about Tommy? I have to ask you about that. What's a favorite memory you have working on that movie? Anne Margaret, Elton John.
Anne Margaret was very difficult. It was very difficult to pretend that Anne, beautiful Anne, was my mother. That was a bit of a stretch. But that was great fun to make, and working with Ken Russell was a dream. It was so inventive.
Oh.
And Elton was so gracious on that film. What a star he is.
Yeah. Oh, so many legends, including yourself. I still watch it sometimes and I get goosebumps watching that movie.
It's mad film.
It was.
I mean, we used to start the day and think, what are we going to do today? And we just to make it up as we went along. It was good. Like the piece where, what is it, come to this house. And we turn up outside this house, a very normal looking house, and Ken would say, what could we do different? He said, do you think you can go and sit up on the
Jeez.
chimney? And I used to climb up the drain pipe and get on the roof and climb on the chimney.
Oh
Because
my God. What
it was
about
creepy.
pinball? Did you know how to play?
No, I was the worst pinball player in the world. I mean, I really, it used to go up and come down and straight down the hole, the wrong hole.
You ever learn how to play?
No, I'm seriously the worst pinball player. I don't know. The pinball, as soon as I get on it's almost like it freezes. Something happens. I don't know. It
Well, you're a good actor.
goes.
What's something your current self would tell your younger self?
Oh, I don't know. Never give advice. You're always going to be wrong.
Have to ask, is it true that Jimi Hendrix wrote Foxy Lady about your wife, Heather?
Yes, Jimmy was trying to take Heather home the same night as I took Heather home. So she became Foxy because he didn't get her.
I love that.
And I've been with her for 55 years now, and I'm starting to like her, you
I'm starting to. I love
know?
it. What do you attribute it to? What's your secret for sustaining that long? I don't know, with the rock star life.
But she must, no, we're soulmates. She's an amazing woman. She's an amazing woman. And we've got a wonderful family. And I've been very lucky. You know, we've had our ups and downs like everybody else has in life. But, you know, you have to work out what's really important in the end. And when you're really in love and you really connect, you know it's there. You can't cheat it. That's not to say other things don't pop up that, you know, make it difficult at times, but you work through them and you hang on to what you know is valuable.
What does music do for people?
So one of the last great freedoms we have now being taken over by AI, which is kind of scary. I
Know.
know it's really whoo. But there again, it also leaves the opportunity for non-AI music to be even more popular than it has been.
How so? How do we fight it?
I don't think you can fight it. You just have to make sure it's copyrighted properly. And
Yes.
copyright is a big issue
Yes.
because, you know, my voice is a copyright to me. The fact that they can now copy my voice and make it say anything they like is kind of scary.
It sure is. Understatement. I don't know if they could ever copy yours, so we don't have to worry about that. Nobody
Well,
could
they
copy
can. I mean,
yours.
I'm sorry, but they can. You know, that's the trouble.
Do you have any favorite singers of today that you like?
Most of them are old singers from the past,
Me
you know.
too. Oh,
I mean, losing Dolly was losing an extraordinary voice. Her voice was just something else, wasn't it?
yes.
There was so much joy in her voice.
Yes.
Even when she sang the saddest song, there was a kind of, I don't know, there was something special going on there, you know.
Yeah, like yours
Well,
and
I hope
Philip.
it's there. I mean, I don't hear it, but I try to touch people with the words, make the words move people. That's all I care about. Music should move people. Otherwise, it's soulless. And that's what I'm trying to do with Rocking in the Free World. When you hear the way I sing it, it's so different the way than the way Neil sings it. But I think now it's a rock song.
Does he know you're doing it?
I don't know. I don't care.
He's cool. How'd you come up with throwing your mic up like that in the air?
From being bored and of everybody else jumping around and doing something, I felt like a spare prick at a wedding. Sorry, excuse me.
Good.
So I had to do something, so I just started,
Something.
twirling it, and the twirls got bigger, and I got very good at it. But the trouble is today, I twirl it out and I can't see where it's gone. So it could lead to some funny moments. And it can be very dangerous.
Simon, Pete Townsend's brother, Simon's on guitar with you.
Yep.
I thought
Yeah,
that
he's
was
been my
neat.
right-hand man for many, many years.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of those Townsends.
No, he's been my right-hand man for 40 years.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
cool. What is your best life advice?
My best life advice, I don't think about things like that. But no, I mean, live every day as though it's your last,
Good one.
because one day it will be.
Yeah, that's right. What's the first record you ever bought?
First record I ever bought, actually paid for, was a Howlin' Wolf record.
Oh, cool. I love
I
it.
had a lot given to me, but that was the first one.
What's your favorite comfort food?
Comfort food. I'm not a foodie.
No.
No, it's one of those things that has to be done. Bit like going to the bathroom.
That's how you maintain your shape. What's something you want to do you haven't done yet?
I would like to go to Antarctica, but I don't think I'll ever make it. I'm not a good sailor. And I've heard that they can get some rather rough weather down there, and the cruises that go there
Yeah.
aren't very big. And I'm not very good at with seasickness.
Yes, me
But
either.
I would just love to see it. I love looking at landscape. I'd like to go to Patagonia, and I might do that one.
Oh, it sounds good. What's the best thing you've seen so far in your travels? Your favorite place?
My favorite place, I still love the deserts. I love the canyons. I love the Andes when I first saw the Andes in Chile. Like I say, I'd like to go further down to Patagonia, but we didn't have time when we went. But I might go down there later on this year. I don't know.
Oh, I love it. I hope you make it. You're such a beautiful person. Thank you so much for your many, many gifts, Roger.
No,
You
well,
know
thank you for the support. Now, you've got to remember this. None of us do anything without the support of our fans. And I've always been eternally grateful for the support that the Who fans have given us. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
Really has been incredible.
Well, you've given us so many gifts, so thank you.
All the best to you.
Thank you so much, Roger.
All
Good
right. All right. All
luck
the
with the
best.
rest of your tour. To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv.